Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey. Welcome back to Homeschooled Podcast, or a special edition of Homeschooled Podcast, I should say. We got a bonus episode for you guys this week. We already had an episode out this week, but guess what? We got a bonus episode because it is Halloween, and we're keeping to traditions. Normally, every Halloween, I've had on Nick and Edie, and we tell paranormal stories because Nick Guerra and Edie Gibson have a great podcast. It's called True Scary Stories. True Scary Stories with Edie and Nick, and it's awesome. I've been on it a couple times. It's a lot of fun. So other than Kevin not being here, we're keeping to traditions. Kevin couldn't make it today because he's gay. I'm just kidding, because he is back in school. So
my friend got that too.
He's back in school, or he's gay. So this is going to be a lot of fun, but before we begin, I want to let everybody know that this weekend, if you're listening to this right now, this weekend, I am in Vancouver. I am at the House of Comedy, which is in New Westminster, British Columbia. All right, you guys, I'm headed to Canada this weekend. So it's two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then one show Sunday, which is Halloween. And I am doing a special little something-something special on the Halloween show after my performance. I'm going to do something special for you guys for Halloween. So make sure you guys come out and support this weekend. And I don't go to Canada too often, so it's a kind of a rare opportunity. So make sure you get your tickets, homeschooledpod.com. And really quickly, this episode is brought to you by our brand new sponsor, Uni Pizza Ovens. Uni Pizza Ovens allows you to have a pizza oven in your house, okay? I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, I had this rich friend, and whenever I went over to his house, they had like a pizza oven in their backyard, and they were always making pizzas, and I just thought like that is what being a rich person means, is having a pizza oven in your backyard. But now, you know what, you guys? You ain't got to be busting out the bank. You ain't got to be a richy rich millionaire to have a pizza oven, because Uni is now allowing you to have your own pizza oven. Listen, guys, there's different types. There's different sizes. There's brick ovens. There's stone ovens. And it's really easy to install. It gets shipped to your house. So anybody, you can even have one if you have like a little patio only or a little deck or something like that. And it starts at $300, and then it goes up from there. So if you want a bigger one, or depending on the one you want, it goes up from there. But it's totally doable, and it's a lot of fun. So you can be a proud owner of an Uni pizza oven. All you got to do is click the link in the description, or go to my website, homeschooledpod.com. Click the banner, click sponsors, and then click the banner for Uni pizza ovens. And while you're on the website, you're going to click on tour, and that's where you get tickets to see my show. All right. Welcome back, Nick Guerra, Edie Gibson, and their show, True Scary Stories with Edie and Nick.
Yes. Thank you for having us. So are you ready for scary stories?
Yes. Should I say that this is a crossover?
Yes, it's a crossover multiverse episode.
Whoa.
MCU style. You are Captain America, and we're...
I want to be Loki.
She's Loki.
I'm the Hulk. Tobey Maguire always.
Okay, Tobey Maguire always. All right. So, yeah, this is a crossover episode for anybody that's listening to Homeschooled. We are taking over. We're going to tell you some scary stories in the style of that we do our podcast. So hopefully you guys enjoy this style and you listen to us while also continuing to listen to Augustino. And we'll start in 3, 2...
Bottom Step Glitch, written by Potato Pixie.
Let me preface this by saying there has always been creepy things happening around me. My dad's old house is haunted as haunted can be. I also had my dead best friend visit me twice, which was nice. So one evening, my partner and I were upstairs sorting laundry when his 17-year-old daughter called us downstairs as dinner was ready. I was heading down the stairs, my partner right behind me, literally two steps behind me. He did his usual thing of tickling the back of my neck as we walked. The stairs are carpeted except for the bottom. The bottom of our stairs is wooden, so you can hear when somebody steps onto it from the carpeted part. When we got to the bottom, my feet hit the floor as usual. I turned to ask him something, and he wasn't there. I totally froze for a second. I looked up the stairs, and there he was, on the top step, pale and shaking. I asked him what had just happened. He kept saying, I don't know, I was behind you. And before I hit the bottom, the next step took me back upstairs. We're very freaked out. We didn't say anything to our girl. She's already leery of this stuff, although he and I are somewhat used to it. Later on, I was talking to my partner about the jump while we were cleaning our bedroom. The second he made a joke about it, our bedroom door and bathroom door just slammed shut, one after the other. I'm chalking it up to our bedroom window being open a crack. I don't want to think of alternatives.
All right. So welcome to the True Scary Stories and Homeschool Podcast. I'm Edie, and this is Nick and Augustino. Of course, you already know that.
Yeah.
This is a podcast where we read scary stories, and we talk about them afterwards. And if you want to submit your scary story to us, you can do it on our Facebook group, Instagram, or website, all at True Scary Stories with Edie. This is a podcast that's going to talk. So if you don't like that, you should check out Just the Terror, which is our podcast that comes out on Sundays right here, where you're listening to True Scary Stories with Edie.
Yeah.
All right. So about this story, tickling the back of my neck as he always does.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's your partnered thing, right?
Tickling the back of my neck as we walk down the stairs, like he always does.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because you got to reach down.
Yeah, you got to reach down. They're going to be going like this. And then it made me think, this guy's a ghost. Because that's a very ghost thing to do. Of a partner, right?
You're yeah.
Like, oh, my partner, he's so cute. Like every time we walk down the stairs, he tickles my neck. He goes in the kitchen, opens the... and closes the drawers, and then he goes, ooh, wow. So cute. Yeah?
I mean, couples do cutesy things all the time, but how do you tickle someone's neck from the back? Like, you just, like a little, do you pinch it, or you just poke it, or? To be honest with you, whenever I'm on an escalator, and my partner is in front of me, I always get the impulse to do something to them, but I don't, because I'm terrified they're going to fall down the stairs.
Yeah, that's a different scary story. Like little escalator things. I was scared it was going to eat my shoelace, and then you get stuck on it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're wild.
That's a true fear.
Imagine.
Yeah. So basically the premise of this story, or the idea behind this story, is glitches. I don't know if you've ever heard of glitches.
Yeah.
So that's basically what they were scared of, is that they think they had a reality glitch, where he was right behind her and they glitched right back upstairs.
So like these glitches are more like, they are paranormal, but they're kind of like more of like the Matrix kind of theme. You know what I mean? It's not like a ghost is sitting there doing it to you. Cause I've really not really encountered very many stories that ghosts have that kind of power. This is like some kind of like weird alternate universe, maybe shifting realities kind of thing.
Yeah, like a literal glitch.
Maybe time hopping or something like that. I doubt a ghost.
Yeah, I don't think it was a ghost at all.
But it might be a spot of like where things, energies cross, and so things get mixed up because of the crossing of all these different creatures and entities from where whatever different dimensions.
Well, there's definitely energy in this guy's house. He said that multiple occasions his best friend who had died visited him.
It also might be like a place where that stuff is possible because of its location or what the time that it's existing. But that might be also why his friend was able to go there, or why things are attracted to go there. So it's true that both things can be true at the same time, really.
It's something that the realtor should have warned him about.
Definitely.
It's not all the stairs are carpeted. You're going to get like an electric shock at the bottom and you might glitch back upstairs.
Yeah, there is a glitch in that contract.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So are you ready for the next story?
Next story.
All right, here we go.
All right, here it goes. One, two, three. What? Am I not supposed to do this?
No, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
All right. Today's topic is taking over the homeschool podcast. Yep, that's what we're doing.
Yep.
It's ours now.
You guys holding it ransom?
It feels very Disney villains. You remember when the Disney villains took over the Mickey's house?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, no, you weren't there? You weren't invited to that? Oh, okay, never mind. All right, so that is the theme. This story is called Pig Painting.
One weekend afternoon, my sister and I went to some antique shops. The second shop was kind of big with maze-like aisles. My sister and I ended up getting separated. The shop also had those doorless three-walled rooms, rooms used as a mock setup of a room to sell furniture or clothes sometimes. Well, one at this shop featured paintings all along the walls. I noticed there was some old 40 posters from a Chicago play that I wanted to look at, but the posters were all the way in the back of that room past the paintings. There was one painting that I remember the most, a pig painting. It was big, 3 feet perhaps, and really pink. Even the background was kind of pinkish. It featured a pink pig wearing a flowered hat. The eyes of the painting were kind of creepy, just straight black but with a little bit of lashes. No color to them, just black. I found the painting honestly rather cute. Even now, I can't seem to forget it. Pigs are one of my favorite animals. But as I looked at the painting, I was getting a very bad feeling coming from that room, and I hadn't even entered it in yet. I was like, it was like not just a creepy feeling, but an overwhelming feeling of something bad. Finally, I toughened up and went inside to look at the posters in the back. When I was in the center of the room, the bad feeling increased by tenfold. I turned and looked eye to eye with that pig. I did look at the Chicago poster, but I definitely didn't look long. I didn't mention this to anyone in the shop, including my sister. On the drive home, my sister mentioned getting a bad feeling from the room with the pig painting. I told her I felt the same thing. I think the bad feeling we got came from something in the room itself, not from the pig painting. We gotta forget it. I think something in the room is mad about having one of its possessions on sale.
All right, so this could obviously be the person who made the pig painting, somebody who obviously has a very distinct taste in art, and people are coming in being like, oh, look at this weird pig painting, and he's like, yo, like, you don't know art. The pig with the black eyes, it's symbolic of the pig within all of us with black eyes.
Oh, okay.
The only thing I wrote down is that he went into the pig room, and he goes, I did look at the Chicago poster, you know. Like I saw, like, felt like a demon in the room, and I saw this evil pig painting, but I was like, well, I look at the Chicago one, too. No, definitely a demon in here. I'm out.
So have you heard about, like, antiques being haunted and things like that?
I have. I think that anything could be haunted, to be honest with you. Maybe not even haunted, but I truly believe that people can leave an energy behind on anything if they wore it a lot, or if they touched it a lot, or if it meant a lot to them. So I totally believe that, and yes, I have heard it.
It was probably this pig painting, honestly, because this is what they remember, and they also don't want to blame the pig painting, which is kind of like you're already enchanted by this evil pig painting. Like, it's not the pig painting. No, it was perfect. It was cute. It's dark black eyes. So I think it was the pig painting, honestly.
Have you ever heard that people say that energy cannot be destroyed? Like, once it's like there, it's always there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the same thing. When you put so much energy into the painting or whatever, that energy, when you die, it's not destroyed. Just like, you know, everybody says it can't be destroyed.
Yeah. But they said that they got a bad feeling. Not a feeling like there was something in the room. They just said they both got a bad feeling.
Like, it was Albert Einstein who said that. I know
for real. About energy?
Yeah, about energy.
Oh, about energy, yeah.
Energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be changed from one form to another.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The bad feeling. Well, tortured artists, bro.
It's deep.
Bad feeling. They slaved over this pig painting. Probably didn't sell it while they were alive. Now they see it selling when they're dead and they're upset.
Or, you know, have you ever heard of the people who used to use mummies as paint?
No.
They got the mummies and it made like a brown, and they called it like mummy brown or whatever.
Oh,
and they
man. Would
paint with the mummy.
Oh, wow.
With the mummy.
That's like using energy with your energy to create a painting. Okay,
yeah,
so
someone's body.
Hear me out.
All right.
Hitler was a painter.
Yes.
All right. Maybe Hitler painted this pig because Jewish people can't eat pork. And
hold on. I'm on the phone with the government. Yeah. Jenny pork. Yeah, go ahead.
Where did they say they were?
They didn't say anywhere.
They didn't say?
No. Just that they like the Chicago play, whatever. That's it.
Hmm. Imagine being the Chicago one, like next to the pig one. They're like,
I want to be sold.
I know.
How about lighten up?
I mean, you're right. It could have been a tortured artist who was some kind of a killer dictator and continues to haunt that painting. Scary. Ready for the next scary story?
I am so ready. Yeah. And also, Hitler did portraits of places.
Yeah, he did a lot of locations. This may have been the one pig painting.
Pig painting, yeah. All right. I'm ready. You ready?
Wouldn't it be funny if Hitler really did the Chicago posters, though? That's where the bad feeling was coming from.
He didn't even know, like, Chicago because he never visited. So yeah. Like, from what I've heard on the German streets.
That's so funny. All right, ready?
Yeah.
All right. So, here we go. Next story. In the Santa Cruz Mountains, written by Zion's Violin.
2 years ago, my brother and I decided that we wanted to check out a cemetery in Santa Cruz. The cemetery is on a supposed haunted road that leads up into the woods, a road said to be haunted by a lady in white that tries to hitchhike in your car. I had forgotten this fact until after the day. We go in, we walk around, yet nothing out of the ordinary happens, so we decide to leave. We're driving down the road towards the woods. By this time, I completely forget the road was haunted. I wasn't even looking for anything paranormal. A couple of miles down from the cemetery, you can pull to the side of the road and walk along this hiking trail. We decide to hike this trail. It's now the afternoon. 10 minutes into the trail, we stumble along abandoned train tracks and a barely standing bridge. It looked cool, so we decide to head down this hill to go under the dilapidated bridge. We go down there and just mess around, looking at the cool architecture. After we had our view, we start back up the little hill that leads back to the trail. When we get to the top, we're a little exhausted. We both notice something out of the ordinary. We hear a voice, like a grown man's, shouting and screaming very angrily. And when I say angry, I mean angry. This voice sounded like a rage-filled, hatefully murderous man. We quiet down. I can tell the voice is very far away, almost sounded like it was in the mountains around us. Sounded more like 500 feet away for sure. We both look at each other like, what is that? We stand around listening for like 15 seconds. Next thing we know, the voice came down the trail from what sounded like hundreds of feet away to being like right down the end of the trail. The speed the voice came closer to us was unnatural, inhuman. The weird thing, the voice is speaking in what I can only call gibberish. I understood not one word it was saying. This voice starts getting very loud and closer to us. I instantly get this fight or flight feeling all in my body. I tell my brother to pick up some huge sticks just to defend ourselves. Even though the voice came out of nowhere and moved down the trail at lightning speeds, I still had the assumption that it was some kind of crazy person ready to kill someone. We pick up the sticks and run down the trail back to the car. As we're running away from this voice that's coming down the other end of the trail, I hear the voice come up behind us in an instant. It sounded like he was no more than 10 feet behind us, chasing us back to the car. I turn around, even though I didn't want to, because I have to see how close this psycho is from us. As I look back and hear the voice right behind me, I see no one. I tell my brother to run faster. The voice is right behind us, yelling in absolute rage, but I see no one chasing us. We start picking up speed. Then the craziest thing in my life happened. The voice starts panning around us in 360 audio. I hear the voice yelling in gibberish right behind me. Then it starts panning to my left through the trees just off the trail. Then the voice is right in front of us. It slides to the right side of the trail, then back behind us, all in a matter of 10 seconds. At this point, my brother and I are very creeped out. We ran the rest of the trail back to the car. The voice kept following us. I started praying. After we make it to the car, the voice disappeared. I remember slowing down, exhausted. We started talking about what we heard. I asked my brother if he also heard the voice slide in circles around us. He said he heard it too. At that point, I knew I wasn't hallucinating or imagining it. I asked my brother if he heard how it sounded like gibberish, but like a man screaming at the top of his lungs in rage. He said he heard the same thing. Finally get in the car and drove out there in a heartbeat. The car ride was silent for like 5 minutes. We just sat there thinking about what happened. That's when I remembered the whole road was haunted, not just a cemetery. The Santa Cruz area and mountains are known for cults and very dark magic being performed in them. To this day, I've never been back down that trail and never plan on it either. Stay safe out there, everyone.
Okay, we will. What if he was just on private property? And this guy just has like, you know, video camera set up. And with microphones where he can yell at them. And he's he's not English. He's not speaking. And so they hear, and he's really just like, get off my property! Get off my property! That's my train!
That's a possibility. A bunch of trees with ring camera, ring camera set up on them.
All over the place.
Well, maybe he's doing something weird in there. Also, if we're thinking like demon and stuff like that, they often can speak demonic. No, I'm just kidding.
They can speak demonic.
What's it? Latin. They love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got my thoughts on this, but we'll let Augustino. What do you think, Augustino?
I mean, sounds like a scary story, dude. Bought it, man. I bought it. I really believe this guy. I believe everything. I kept thinking that they were going to see on the way back the woman in white hitchhiking,
They never said they saw it.
And I almost kind of wonder if it's two ghosts or spirits. So it could be the man who maybe murdered the woman out there a long time ago, and maybe the woman has ever since been trying to get home, and she hitchhikes to everybody who rarely drives down that road.
Yeah.
Is how I imagined it in my head.
I also like how they grab some bushes or grab some sticks to defend themselves from a voice, a sound.
Well, they just thought it was a dude that was going to pop out of anywhere any minute.
I mean, I grabbed a rock once to defend myself from a car. So, you know.
A thing. A sound is not a thing that you can fight.
I carry rocks in my car to throw at people in traffic. And that's a true story.
You can keep rocks in your car to throw people in traffic.
Yeah. They're not giant. They're like little. You ever see a rock when you're walking? You're like, oh, that's a pretty rock. I got like a handful of them in my cup holder. But. I have chucked them at someone's car when they cut me off.
You know what else you can throw them? Change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I use those for the meter, so they ain't getting much.
You just got caught in a lie. You don't got a lie to kick it.
Haunted penny. Well, here's my thoughts on all this. They went to the cemetery and were just disrupting it. They weren't like visiting anybody. They're like, we're just going to walk around this cemetery because we want to be freaked out. So you got what you wanted, right? So it could be a lot of restless spirits all around that area because of the cemetery, because it is the woods. I just think they got what they wanted. They wanted to see something scary. And the spirits were like, okay, you disturbed us. We're going to be scary. Lady in white, hang back. I got this. You know?
Yeah, it could have been all of them at once. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, all of us. Yeah. You youngins. You didn't leave flowers for us. It could be just that, man.
It seems like the guy who was speaking gibberish, though, like, because they went to the cemetery and then they went to do the hike, which starts at the cemetery, and they didn't see the guy until they really got further in the hike by the bridge that was falling apart. So, like, yes, a spirit, maybe, you know, a left-behind spirit from the cemetery is wandered down that hike also and has claimed that to be his territory under the bridge, you know?
Yeah, very, very much. That's very possible, yes. You ready for another scary story? Yeah.
Do you guys, I know you guys take breaks. Do you need to take a break for you?
No. I'm going to cut this all up in post.
Because if you need to, I do another ad in the middle, but let me know. We can do another story.
Oh, we can do an ad after this, and cool. I'll pause it and we'll get going.
There we go.
So after this story, we'll let you do the ad.
Sweet.
Nothingness, written by Flower Drops.
Over this summer, I was at the Oregon County Fair getting ready to head out of camp with my boyfriend, Aaron. We're packing up our car tent on top of his FJ Cruiser. We had to use a metal ladder to get to the tent. I went up into the tent to start throwing out our things to pack up. The ladder was very slippery, it had no grip tape on it, and I was sadly wearing socks. While coming out of the tent, I slipped and fell 7 feet straight onto my head. Aaron dropped everything and rushed to me, asking me if I was okay. I replied, I'm fine. My head just really hurts. I, of course, have no recollection of any of this. He told me to sit down in the car. I was getting upset that he wasn't letting me get up and to continue helping him pack my Virgo sensibilities. I guess out of annoyance, I got out of the car. My legs completely collapsed underneath me. Immediately, he called the paramedics. I started to slip into complete blackness. I don't remember much else, which is where the real story starts to begin. I'm in the ambulance. I can hear the sirens. I feel oxygen enter my nose. I hear the EMTs yelling my name, but I can't respond, open my eyes, or move. Every second, I keep slipping deeper and deeper into what I can only explain as the darkness. It sounds silly, but this feeling and sensation is honestly indescribable, unlike anything I've ever felt. The EMT starts to push incredibly hard with his fingers into my sternum. Each press brings me back because of the pain. I open my eyes slightly. I hear the EMT say, only responds to painful stimuli. Then I was out. Next thing I remember is being at the hospital, feeling my clothes being cut off. Apparently, I started to have seizures and convulsions due to the lack of oxygen that was coming to my brain. I slipped deeper and deeper, farther and farther away from this world. I was beginning to cease breathing on my own. They had to insert a ventilator into me. Aaron was in shambles. All the doctors could tell him was that they were not sure if I would be fine, have permanent brain damage, or die. All the while, I'm slowly dying on the gurney, entering the ICU. I remember being stranded in the blackness. I remember feeling like floating through endless space, floating, wandering, waiting. I was not sure what I was waiting for or what I was doing in this place. I had no idea what was happening. I didn't know who I was, what had happened, or where I was. I saw nothing, felt nothing. I was nothing. But the thing is, there was an overwhelming sense of calmness throughout this. I wasn't scared. After almost 24 hours, I started to slowly come back, break consciousness at certain moments of my coma. The most beautiful thing happened. I won't forget it the rest of my life. Aaron was finally let into the ICU to see me. He asked the nurse if he could hold my hand. Her response, yes, but be careful. She'll probably sense you, and we can't have her getting excited while she has a tube in her throat. He approached me. At that moment, I slowly started to open my eyes. I remember while I was wandering in what felt like purgatory, all I could think about was Aaron. I didn't know who Aaron was or what Aaron was, but I knew the idea of Aaron gave me a feeling of warmth, a reason to find my way out of that dark place. I felt that as long as I had this thing, I'd be okay. Aaron told me I started to reach out for him while my eyes were still closed. He grabbed my hand. At that moment, I came back into my body, opened my eyes ever so slightly, and started to try and mouth the words, I love you, quickly realizing that the words would not come out because there was a tube in my mouth. Aaron was crying. I fell back into the nothingness place. Well, obviously I'm fine now. I exited whatever place that was. I've always thought that when someone is dying or about to die, traces of DMT have been found firing off in the brain. Now, I've done DMT and have blasted off before. I've even had telepathic contact with what felt like interdimensional entities or beings while being on DMT. But there was no sign of that in this place. There were no vibrant and beautiful colors, no contact with these special and beautiful creatures, no sense of completion into the next realm. It made me wonder if there really is a life after death. There really is a place I'm going after I leave my earthly body. Maybe I didn't see these things because I wasn't ready to make the crossover or start the journey. Maybe the higher powers of the universe needed me to stay here in this world to complete what I was meant to do here. Maybe this was just the place to wait while the decision was being made. I don't know. All I know is I haven't given up hope that there is a place I'm going after I'm no longer here and that it will be beautiful.
All right. Agostino, do you want to go first?
Yeah.
So this was the story I was supposed to save for you. I didn't realize.
Oh, no, that's okay. This is why I don't go camping. Every time I hang out with you two and you guys tell me one of your stories, at least there's one camping story where they saw a demon or a wolf or something. Camping just freaks me out, okay? And my thoughts on this are just, I don't know if she was going to another place, like slipping into a coma, or if she was dying and going to another place, but I just got the feeling that she was just experiencing a coma and what it's like to black out, and she probably was having a very rare experience where most people can't remember while they were in the coma. She actually was like conscious while she was in the coma, you know?
It actually is kind of possible to do something like similar to that. I've had that happen with me in fainting where I've still been like conscious, but I fainted and I could hear like everyone around me like being worried and like, oh my gosh, what, call somebody, call an ambulance or something. And I was like, I can't wake up. Right. But then you can after a while.
Yeah.
It's like your body basically is just like rest. Like we can't do anything. Like it makes you stop.
Well, if you're like in a deep sleep, and you're having a dream, and then there's a noise going on or someone talking around you, it makes its way into your dream, and you can actually hear it until you eventually wake up. But maybe the injury that she took to her head was just keeping her from waking up when she heard these things.
Right, and who knows what kind of medication she was on, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
That can cause, I mean, definitely can cause that.
Yeah, I think what you said makes the most sense. The fact that she may have just been experiencing the coma itself with her brain just like just having enough sense to be like, stay with me for a moment. It was nice to hear that, you know, she, the idea of Aaron, you know, because you don't hear that. I didn't know who it was or what it was. I just knew this idea gave me a warmth feeling. And I read that people who deal with dementia and Alzheimer's, when they mistake somebody, like, you know, say, you know, I had it, and for some reason I was like, oh, I looked at you and I was like, my dad's here, right? Which happens with people with dementia and Alzheimer's. What it is that they don't think you're their father. The feeling you give them is that of the father, and the only word they have for it is dad, you know? So like a lot of grandparents who are going through it when their grandson is visiting and they're like, oh, my husband's here. It's actually just the, you know, this
the
person that gives
of,
me
like,
love.
Admiration.
Yeah.
Is here.
Yeah. My grandmother has Alzheimer's and when I go over to the house, like, she doesn't remember that I'm her grandson anymore. But when I go over to the house, she gets like really happy. She smiles and she's like, I know you, you know? And so I think that she definitely kind of sensed it a little bit. But I don't know if there was anything too paranormal about this story, but it's not to say that it's not a nice story. Thank God she's okay. And that it's not a special story, because I think that even if we are assuming that it was just, you know, a coma, that she was, you know, or asleep and aware of what was going on, it's still, I think, kind of amazing that she was able to remember all of that later on and have such a vivid memory of what was going on during. I still think that's amazing. And that's also not to say that when she does die, that she's going to a beautiful place.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to have hope.
Oh, hopefully it's better than a dark place.
Yeah, and I will say this to anybody that heard that little anecdote. It was also recommended by people that deal with patients with dementia. You don't remind them who you are. Mm. Allow them to just be like, oh, my husband. Like, yes, I'm here. Let's walk around. Because if you remind them, then they feel embarrassed and shamed, and it actually is harder for them to.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't do that with my grandmother at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the similar thing with dreams. I used to have these like dreams that I would be like having like sexual relationships with people I didn't want to. And when I actually researched about it, you have those dreams sometimes when you really admire somebody, and it actually has nothing to do with sex at all.
Whoa.
You just really admire them. And so your brain like places them there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I've
because you're trying to be close to them. You're trying to get to know them so intimately. And it actually has nothing to do with sex. So it might be like something like that too, where it's like this person, you don't know who they are, but they just represent something to you. And you might be like, oh, hi, dad, or whatever. But you know they're not your dad. You know that it's just the representation of what you feel for them.
Yeah.
I've had those dreams with you, Augustino.
Whoa. I'm so glad you admire me.
Do you want to do your ad?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
All right, guys, this is a great time to let you know that this episode is also brought to you by True Dog. True Dog is very important for those of you who have dogs and you're ever a little worried about what you're feeding them. True Dog is organic, natural food, dog treats, and just so you know what you're giving your dog, all right? It's super important. I have a dog. My dog's like allergic to everything. I found that out after having him. After like a year, he has so many allergies that we had to start making his food ourselves. Because and then I talked to all my neighbors and other people who have dogs, and they're like, yeah, we have the same issues. And I think that over the years that these dog food companies are just putting trash in these, you know, it gets worse and worse every year. So even when you get your treats, it's like really important to know what you're giving your dog. It's like, you know, beef flavor or whatever it is. You got to make sure you know what's in it. If you're going to give your dog beef, make sure it's real beef, real organic. And, you know, you eat like that yourself. So you might as well eat that way for your dog. So check out True Dog. And another thing I love about them is that they have a spray to help clean your dog's teeth. Because I know I got a big pit bull. And he's a sweetheart, but he does not like to have his teeth brushed, but he needs it. Dogs can develop many diseases, including heart disease, if they have teeth problems from not having clean teeth or growing plaque on their teeth. You have to brush their teeth. So what True Dog has is actually a spray where you just spray it on their teeth. It's flavored. They don't mind it. And you do that once a day, and it helps clean your dog's teeth, and it's good for their breath. And go to True Dog and click the link in the description. For the holidays, they have a couple of gift baskets. If you know somebody who has a dog, that's a great gift. There's a gift basket with the spray and treats that are good for your dog's dental hygiene. And while you're there, you can check out all the treats they have to offer, which is made with real products, real meat, and all organic ingredients. So click the link in the description for True Dog, or again, go to my website, homeschooledpod.com, click on sponsors, and click the True Dog banner. Now, let's get back to the show.
And I like it too. All right, let me start it up again. Okay, you got your noise ready?
I got the noise ready. Ba 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 ba. I'm just kidding. One, two, three. Monkey Man.
About 3 weeks ago, I drove my son out to Mount Rainier National Park for a little weekend camping trip, a place my dad used to take me when I was a kid. I wanted my son David, who's 2.5, to find the same joy of the wilderness as I had, but I'm quite convinced that he will be terrified of forests for the rest of his life. When we arrived that Friday, the weather was crisp. The first signs of spring had finally made themselves known. We walked, or rather I walked with David on my shoulders, for about 2, maybe 3 hours from the parking lot to a small, desolate camping ground with a pre-made fire pit. I'm not a very overprotective parent, so I let David wobble around a bit while I pitched the tent. It was about 3:30. Just as I was about done and was getting ready to unload our 3-day supply into the tent, I heard David make some sounds from behind me. Now, I recognized these sounds immediately, sounds he usually makes when he's excited about something. I turned around and saw him about 20 feet away, sitting in the grass and staring into the woods. More strangely, he was doing this thing he does when he's particularly excited about something, slapping both of his thighs repeatedly. I slowly walked over while trying to keep an eye on both him and the woods at the same time, but there was nothing in the tree line that I could make out. When I was finally by his side, I asked him what he'd seen. His response was, "Monkey man, monkey man." He was smiling and still slapping his thighs. As much as I tried to match his excitement, like a good parent should do, suddenly the serenity of the woods was replaced by a sense of unease. I fixed my eyes on the tree line. I peered in very, very carefully. It was just such an incredibly strange thing for him to say. I picked David up, not wanting to leave him alone anymore, at least until I could regain some clarity. I walked into the tree line. I don't know how many of you are parents, but the last thing you want to do when you're taking your kid out for a fun weekend is frighten him. The sensible thing might have been to hush him, tell him to keep quiet for a while, but I also knew that, realistically, this was just an imaginative manifestation. After a few minutes of scouting around with David up on my shoulders, I decided to return to camp. I made us some lunch. Still keeping an occasional eye on the space at which David had been clapping and yapping just a few minutes before. As much as I tried to forget it, I just couldn't. I'm not superstitious. I don't believe in aliens, ghosts, or Bigfoot. But my parental instinct was simply in too much of a high gear for me to let it go. So as the cold sun was setting, I decided to ask David a bit about what he had seen. To understand my story a little better, it might be relevant to mention here that David has a mild learning disability, which has particularly impaired his speech. He can understand fine, but his ability to communicate has lagged behind somewhat. As I was getting the fire going, I asked him about the monkey man. I asked if it was a big monkey man. David thought about that for a second. Then he laughed and nodded. I asked if it seemed like a nice monkey man. David once again giggled in approval. I wasn't really sure what else to ask. Nightfall struck. On full bellies, I read a book to him as he fell asleep in his sleeping bag. As I fell asleep myself, I had almost forgotten about monkey man. I awoke in pitch darkness. The fire pit was out. I reached out to feel for David. Panic struck me hard. He wasn't in the tent anymore. With only my underwear on, I stormed out. I realized it was too dark to see anything, so I dropped back into the tent and tore my flashlight out of my bag. I was screaming his name all at the same time. With only the weak beam of a flashlight, I shone it around in circles, calling for David. For some reason, I ran towards the spot at which David had been so transfixed in the daytime. I shouted his name into the trees. I trotted into the pitch black woods. I was too frantic to notice how badly my feet were getting scraped up by bark and stone. After only about a minute of walking, I saw something that made me drop the flashlight and bolt forward. David was standing there, peering into the darkness, utterly still. I grabbed onto him hard and began to sob. Still clutching him tightly, I picked up the flashlight again, which had been idly beaming the ground, and scouted around. I could see nothing. As I carried him back, looking over my shoulder, I asked what had happened. He implied that he didn't know and that he was tired. David has had a long history of sleepwalking. That night, I locked up the tent from the inside with a padlock. I only got about 3 hours of good rest. David slept like a rock. The following morning, I cooked some eggs and bacon on the camping stove. David had no recollection of what had happened. He seemed content to continue the trip. I thought it would be incautious to shrug off last night's event as mere sleepwalking, especially considering the monkey man business, but also thought it would be a bit too silly to cancel the entire trip over it. Thus, I made a promise to myself that if anything else were to happen, we would drive back to Tacoma at a moment's notice. The rest of the day was actually quite nice. It helped me take my mind off of things. David was at first a little upset about not having an iPad, but eventually discovered that nature can be just as cool as pixels. We made some bark boats with faces on them and sent them downstream. We watched squirrels and listened to the birds. It was everything I had hoped the trip would be. At dusk, when the trees stretched long shadows across the grass, David was getting too cold and too tired to play anymore. I decided we'd spend the rest of the day in the tent. I'd brought along this game where you had to trace the outline of a person with if your aim is off and make a funny sound. I don't remember what it's called, but David found it hilarious. It's dumb, but supposedly helps with motor development. At one of David's turn, he made an error. The little speaker made the sound again. David bellowed into laughter. Happened next filled me with a sense of fear that I doubt anything will ever match. From about 150 feet away, I heard the exact same laugh that David had made, only that it was much deeper. It's almost like when you record yourself speaking, then digitally pitch it down. I froze. This time, I couldn't hide my reaction from David. I could tell by his face that he had heard it too. I lifted a finger up to my lips to communicate to him that we needed to be quiet. It was at this moment that I also noticed that the sun had set completely, and just how dead quiet the woods were. Every second felt like an eternal minute as we sat there in the tent, absolutely still, enveloped in the silence. When the sound of my own heartbeat in my ears finally ceased a little, I slowly leaned over towards my backpack to get out my handgun. When I turned around to face David again, I saw that he picked up the electrode again. I sternly removed it from his hand. I whispered with equal sternness, "Not now, David." Then, just as I had said it, a low, broken voice whispered from literally inches from the tent, "Not now, David." The next thing I'm aware of is that I'm shooting wildly through the fabric of the tent in the direction of the sound. David is screaming. As the gunshots ring throughout the woods, I hear the last remnants of something sprinting away. With my hand violently trembling, I open the padlock. I jump out with a flashlight in my left hand, aiming the faint beam into the black nothingness. I grabbed David, stuffed everything within arm's reach into the backpack, and ran. The way back was pure terror. There was not a second in which I did not feel as if something was right behind us, ready to leap out from behind us or the side of the trail, out from the darkness. The only thing I could do to David was say, "It's okay, you'll get the iPad soon. Do you want the iPad?" Nothing ever leaped out at us, nor did I hear anything except for the rushing of the wind and the occasional running stream by the trail side. I was so out of it that even in the car, I kept checking the back seat just to see if there was something sitting in it, ready to destroy us. I don't know how to explain to David's pediatrician what happened in Mount Rainier. I haven't even told his mother the full story, only that I thought someone came up to our tent and then fired a warning shot. Needless to say, David hasn't been the same since. He has been getting constant headaches, which might be from the damage to his ears by the gunshot. I don't really know how to end the story, but one thing is for certain, never ever take your kids out to Mount Rainier National Park.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, man.
There you go,
Scary.
Monkey Man. We're talking about parks here. We're talking about monkeys. We might be dealing with a Sasquatch here. What do you think?
Sasquatches aren't known to mimic, but, you know, it may be like a cryptid like that. But, yeah, maybe like a Sasquatch.
Right, right. When he said monkey, he could have also meant goat.
Goat man.
He could be the goat man, the the most mimicking cryptid of all cryptids.
Yeah. I mean, Agostino, how much have we've talked to you about cryptids. Let's ask you what you think, and then I'll tell my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I know about it just from you guys and that they mimic, but I don't know if how educated this kid is on animals. If he mistook a goat looking man for a monkey man, do you guys know of anything that looks like a monkey?
There's also like the djinn,
yeah,
which is kind of like a shape shifting mimicking.
Oh yeah,
that lives in the forest. So when he said monkey, he might have meant because it had really long arms. That cryptid has really long arms and really long hands kind of look.
Oh, man.
He might have meant that.
Yeah. Goat men don't typically look like goats. You know, they do when they're not shape-shifting is what the belief is. But it's the rhythm that they speak because they kind of repeat what you say, but like a goat, like that. You know what I'm saying? And they often... look like people.
Yeah.
So it may be somebody that was trying to look like a person to this kid look like, well, you look hairy, you look like a monkey man. So I mean, my idea is that it was a cryptid.
Right. It is because of the way they talk. That's why they call them goat man.
Yeah.
They were going to call them parrot man, but it sounded too silly.
Yeah. No, parrots are a different type of cryptid.
Parrot man, what's he do?
I gotta tell you, this was the scariest story so far tonight. I was creeped out a little bit.
It's creepy when they say like things back, like
yeah.
I don't know why that is, but it. Have you ever heard the theory, like the Uncanny Valley thing, where it's like if something like looks too human, like almost too human, but it's not, it like creeps people out.
Yeah,
people think it's because we were invaded by like a species of like almost human looking things. So now it's like ingrained in our DNA to be afraid of things that act a little human but aren't.
Yeah, but they're not, because it's not normal just to repeat the thing back.
I don't like birds for that. Like birds that can talk, I think that's really creepy.
Imagine it was a dude.
Along with that.
Like if imagine it was what? if it was like a man that was outside the tent who's just a creeper in the woods trying to like stalk them or something. Let's just say for argument's sake that for them to say something back, like just repeating what they just heard,
yeah,
is extremely creepy because someone who is trying to do that would probably like mentally not right. You know what I mean? You would just say they're not mentally there. That,
like
which
a feral man.
Yeah, which can be very scary because they could be an unstable person out there.
And they look like a monkey because of the beard and the hair and stuff like that.
If you saw Tarzan?
Oh,
that'd be kind of hot. Wait, which kind of Tarzan? Are we talking Phil Collins Tarzan? Or are we talking?
So that was another camp story. You ready for another story, Agostino?
Are you got another? I don't know, dude. That one was pretty scary already.
I got two more for you if you're
okay.
Cool with that.
Yeah. Well, I will just say with this one,
of, like being in a sleepover.
Right,
you
know, now,
always the one kid who was like, "I don't want to do it. I'm so scary."
I like it, and kid. I don't like. I don't know if you could tell. I keep looking this way at the door because my garage
always, like,
freaks me out.
I just kind of like look away, look down, or something.
Gosh, like I mean, he heard it to the point where he shot a gun out at whoever was out there. Which I get. I mean, you're protecting your kid, and there was clearly someone's voice out there that was not saying anything normal. As far as like the kid wandering out there on his own, that's super scary. But I mean, he could have just been sleepwalking since he was known for that, and he thought he saw a monkey, which. Kids have an imagination. When you take away their iPad, their imagination has to do the job. Maybe the kid was just using his imagination. What he saw up in a tree was like,
yeah,
he pretended he saw a monkey. Maybe he went to sleep, he was still thinking about the monkey, sleepwalked out there. So that is something, but they may not even have to do with each other, you know. But
yeah,
right. And the thing of him shooting at it, knowing it wasn't a person, because like if you think it's a person, you're going to be less inclined to shoot at it. But if you think, no, it's a demon, you're like, oh, I'm going to shoot at this thing immediately.
Maybe.
You don't go to jail for killing demons.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
You get a TV show for killing demons.
I
think he would have shot if it was a person just because he was protecting
his
kid.
But he said
kid.
That the voice was coming from, like, it was chasing them, and there was nothing chasing them.
No, that was the other.
That was the other story.
This one, too.
Did he? I missed
home.
That.
Yeah, no, there was no voice chasing him here.
You said it sounded, okay.
Okay,
I'm pissed. Now I'm leaving.
Oh, man, we did it. We pissed off Edie finally.
Edie's a goat man. I forgot to tell you. He's a goat man.
But, But I mean, kids can just say stuff. Kids say stuff. Like, I saw a monkey. They have great imaginations, you know.
But, yeah, but kids can't mimic your voice right. outside of a tent for you.
Right. And he said he didn't tell the mom the whole story, so he probably only told the mom the sleepwalking part and didn't say I shot a gun next to his ear.
Yeah. I think also, like, if you think about, like, when I was a kid, I was convinced that the fan could talk, like the ceiling fan, because my parents had the radio on. And I was when I was sleeping, I was like, oh, the fan talks. And then imagine if, like, my parents were seeing ghosts in the house and I was like, the fan talks. They'd be like, oh, my God, she's, you know, she's talking to the ghosts up there or whatever. So it's like, maybe these two things are, can be both be true, that the kid thinks they saw it and this guy's having this experience.
That's crazy, man.
Gary, you ready for another scary story?
Lay it on me, bro.
This one, this is a different one, so it won't be, like, too scary like that one.
All right. Tearing myself apart. Written by Old Soul 2112.
What follows occurred in 2005. I was going through a very messy and painful divorce. Looking back, I remember fighting so hard for so long, fighting to keep together a situation that was a lost cause for years. For the months this dragged on, I was not in a good place at all. After another day of too many cigarettes and far too much dark anguish, I laid in bed, waiting to go to sleep. Sleep was difficult during this time for me, but at some point I did fall asleep. And at some point, the following experience happened. I found myself standing in about a foot of fresh snow, which at the time I thought was really interesting since it was summer in the waking world. Lucid, which is not real. I remember looking behind me and there were no footsteps in the snow. I did not walk here. It was night. And based on the enormous tree line surrounding me I could make out in the moonlight, I was in the middle of some vast forest. In front of me was a small cabin, lit from the inside, with smoke trailing from the chimney. It was then that I started to feel the cold. So I walked up to the cabin. I knocked on the door. I was shocked when my father answered the door. He had died in 2000. We're extremely close. I could not believe it. For a few minutes, it was hugs and tears. Somehow, I had all these pictures of my daughters in my pockets. I was showing him, telling him stories. He was patiently smiling, but I could tell that he was listening for my benefit. It soon set in that he had seen every one of those moments of me and my kids. Seen everything. I still hold on to this day that he watches over my girls. And now his new great-granddaughter. Once I began to take this all in, something struck me as odd. My dad was not the rustic type. In fact, he hated camping. And looking around, I could see the place was filled with books. Made it comfortable, but this didn't really feel like his place, if you catch my drift. I must have mentioned that because I watched his face change into something a bit more somber. He answered, "It's because I don't really belong here. I'm supposed to be somewhere else." I didn't understand what he meant, and he must have read it on my face. He went on, "I'm here for you, son. I came here to this place to help you, but we're running out of time. You're here because I have something to show you." In the next instant, we're back in the snow behind the cabin. The moon was really bright. I could see pretty clearly. We're standing in front of this gigantic kennel with a high fence all around it. I was confused. Then I could see two large shadows moving in the shadows in the back. I began to hear the sounds they were making. I will never forget it. It was like a growl and a whine at the same time. I think they sensed who I was or something. They shot forward into the light. I saw them for the first time. They were two huge black wolves. It's so horrible looking. They're so enraged and at the same time so sick. Their hair was matted in filth and gone altogether in sickly patches with bloody spots where they had bitten themselves or each other. They were throwing themselves at the fence almost blindly to get at me. I remember they were biting at the fence until their mouths were bloody. Once or twice they bumped into each other. They would immediately tangle in a bloody, violent fight. Dark blood fell on the snow. Somehow I knew that this must have been going on for a very long time. The whole scene was frightening, repulsive, and confusing. Again, this sort of thing was so out of character for my dad, who loved animals. I asked him why he was doing this. Why are you keeping these things around? I remember my dad's face, so kind but pained. He said, "Son, don't you understand? This is what I'm here for, in the middle of nowhere, hidden away out here. I'm here to help you." He motioned to the kennel. "Those two wolves are your anger and your fear, and they're tearing everything apart. I came here to keep them here, to keep you safe, but son, I can't hold them here any longer. You can't hold them here any longer. They'll destroy everything. You aren't going to live much longer like this. I stood there in silence. Even the wolves had fallen silent. I wanted to cry. All of it came into view. The beating myself up, the huge toll it was taking on me, my mental and physical health, all coming up to the point where I was actually facing my own death. I knew that part to be true. I would be dead within days. All of it was because someone didn't love me. What was actually doing the most damage, what was killing me, was that I refused to love myself. I could tell by my dad's face that he saw me coming to his realization. He smiled in relief. He asked, "Are you ready?" I was terrified they would attack me, but I knew there was no choice. With the feeling of the whole world watching, I walked up with as much courage as I had. I flung open the gate. With that growling whine that was deafening, the wolves leapt out of the kennel, finally free. They stood there for a moment, locking eyes with me, their hair standing on end. For a second, I thought they were going to kill me, payment for keeping them in the cage. Finally, without a look back, they charged together into the forest. Where they went, I do not know. I remember looking at my dad, not knowing what to do next. There were no more words, just a feeling that the experience was over. I knew that this place would never be here again for me, but my father would, which is more than enough. Then I woke up. It was early morning. I felt mentally and physically drained, somehow not the same. There's also a knowing that the worst was behind me, that I was not going to die yet. The wolves were released. Day by day, I slept better. As a moving day approached, I found myself looking forward to a new life. My girls and I had the best adventures when we were together, great memories we talk about to this day. I owe much of that turning point to my dad, who put himself in the cabin in the middle of some nowhere to keep me from tearing myself apart.
I just think since he only heard his dad running behind him, that maybe it was...
Okay, all right.
All right, so this guy, these stories make me feel jealous. Because I'm like, man, I wish that I could get that kind of experience, you know, with somebody that I loved. But it seems like he had more to do on the earth, and he was obviously going to die soon with what he was going through. So it's like his dad had to intervene.
Yeah.
And I believe it was really him, Augustino.
What did I miss though? Is this a dream?
Yeah, it was a dream. So basically, he had been just abusing his body with, you know, it sounded like cigarettes and alcohol and things like that.
Because he was going through a divorce, right?
He was going through a divorce, yeah. A really messy divorce, and dreamt, fell asleep. Is used to having lucid dreams, so he's already used to connecting to, the other plane where lucid dreams happen. Yeah. And had this experience with his father that passed away 5 years earlier.
Yeah.
Who basically told him, like, your anger and fear is killing you.
I also think, I thought it was going to turn into that he was not really his father when he was like, you're not supposed to be in this kind of situation, whatever. And then and then he's like, oh, then his face completely changed. I was like, that's about to be the devil. Devil himself.
I always get a little weary about people that have dreams. And sometimes I think with dreams, they could be so real, and it's really just what you had in your mind anyway, and what was in your heart anyway, and what you really know is right. And sometimes it comes out in a dream, and I think that people sometimes mistake that for really people visiting them in a dream. And I think in actuality what it is, it's like you knew this was right and wrong. You knew this is killing you, and you know you knew that your father probably wouldn't approve. And I think that all those things can come together in your subconscious. But that's not to say that I don't believe that people can be visited in a dream. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And super interesting and creepy.
A lot of times we talk about ghosts and how much they are able to access us more when we're asleep or through electronics, like they can mess with the TV or lights and stuff like that a lot easier for some reason than other things. So this might actually be a good way for his father to contact him as a spirit. Because we have we said so many times, it's for some reason easier for them to access you when you're asleep. Well,
it's kind of when your brain is shut off, you know, like when you're not holding back. Because our brain every day mentally is holding back a lot of just random thoughts, random things happening, random noise, so that we can function normally. That's why when you get exhausted, all of a sudden, all these thoughts start popping up, things like that. But you may be right. He may have just manifested at this moment his father, who is obviously somebody who is very important to him, into telling him the obvious.
Or his body just even trying to save itself.
Yeah, like, his body saving itself, yeah.
We need to stop doing this or we're going to die, so I'm going to give you this dream.
Yeah.
Like the brain saving itself.
It could be that. It's a wild story. I included it just because it is, it's just, you know, a different way of looking at, you know, dreams, spirituality, whatever people may seem. And I think it was a nice story.
Mm-hmm. You know what would be a really scary ending to that story?
What?
He doesn't get divorced.
Oh! And it turns out he was married to the wolves.
They love porridge.
They ran off to go meet him at the lawyers. Oh, the wolves. Who's keeping them?
So you said you had one more?
One more story. This is it. So, Edie, do you want to do your last story announcements?
Oh, yeah, sure. Before we get to the last story, don't forget to follow us and submit your scary story to us on the website, the Instagram, or on the Facebook group, all at True Scary Stories with Edie. For me, I have a show this weekend, October 30th. I'll be posting it on my Instagram, which is at EdieGibson07. So you can find all my shows on there. It's just EdieGibson07. And besides that, don't forget to give us 5 stars after this. It really does help the podcast. If you're not going to give us 5 stars, then don't even do it.
Wait, where are you going to be on the 30th? You didn't say.
Because I don't know. That's why I tried to say that. Look at my Instagram. And then you called me out on it.
Sorry.
I don't know, okay? I don't know.
And what about you, Augustino? Any announcements?
Yeah, I am going to be in Vancouver this weekend, the 29th, 30th, and the 31st. So all of Halloween weekend, I am at the House of Comedy in New Westminster, which is in British Columbia.
Whoa!
All right. And I'll be in Utah next weekend. Okay. Next weekend.
Cool. You should chew on some coca leaves while you're there.
Oh.
That's what all the people do, right?
I don't know.
Oh, no, it's Peru. Sorry.
Peru, yeah.
I mean, they sound so much alike. British Columbia.
No, we chew on some. They chew on maple leaves over there.
Yeah. All right, you ready for the last story?
So yes.
I know about ghost stuff. I don't know about science, okay? All right. 1, 2, 3. When abnormal is normal.
The house I was raised in was haunted. But when you grow up in a haunted house, it feels like that's normal. When my sister and I were born, my mom did not know she was having twins. I don't know if that was the reason she never treated us right. Our mother thought we were the devil's spawn. My mother would not come near us. My father would have to change our diapers, feed us throughout the day, get a little sleep, work the night shift. He'd come home on his lunch break at midnight to feed us, clean us, and change our diapers. In my later age, I suspect my mother must have been having a mental breakdown that lasted for 18 years. She's a really good person to friends and family, just not us. Maybe it was postpartum. Growing up in the house and the circumstance of my mother seemed natural to me. One night, my sister and I were laying in bed. We're about 11 years old. We heard heavy horse hooves on the roof of the house. Whatever was making this noise wanted us to know it was there, and it meant business. We huddled together. In our room, we had a child-sized little red rocking chair. Beside this rocking chair was a stack of notebook paper for school. That rocking chair started rocking back and forth in a soothing manner. Then one piece of paper rose into the air. It was crumpled into a ball and thrown at us on the bed. We were holding each other as tight as we could, just watching all this happening. Then the same thing happened again. Paper rose into the air, crumpled into a ball, and thrown at us. All the while, the chair was rocking back and forth. Another piece of paper rose, crumpled, thrown. Then an entity appeared in the room with us, a big, hairy creature with horns. It tried to get in between us. My twin was paralyzed with fear. I was energized with fear. I ran to my dad's door, courageously running through the long, dark hallway. I banged with my fists on the door. My mom always kept their bedroom door locked. My dad came out like the Incredible Hulk to the rescue. He asked what was happening. I told him what I could. It wasn't much. I had a speech impediment. So I led him back to the room, running and hoping he'd follow. He asked Billy what had happened, who told him even more. Between the very short time that I left to get help, she told my dad it had red eyes, horns with hair all over. She wet the bed. She still could not move, paralyzed with fear. We never had anything like that extreme happen again. Maybe my mom was right, or maybe she wished that on us.
Whoa.
Whoa.
You want to go first? I don't think
no, you guys go first. I just read the whole story.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Augustino. Or I can go.
Yeah, you go.
All right, I'll go. I wonder if something had happened, like she did not want to have twins. And then when she got pregnant with the twins and found out there were twins, it was like an extra child she didn't want. And then it was like a bad omen. And it brought this bad energy, this bad thing. It was attached to one of the kids. And so she hated the kids always because they have this thing attached to them.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe all of their problems, their paranormal problems became so when she got pregnant. And that's why she doesn't like the kids.
Why did she say, why did he say, maybe my mom was right? Right about what?
The mother thought she said, I thought they were the devil's spawn. Like, our mother thought we were the devil's
spawn. She literally said that to them?
Yeah.
I thought that was her way of, their way of describing how their mother was with them. But the mother actually said that.
That's just what, that's the way it's written. So
maybe she didn't want to scare them. I mean, she wanted to be rude, mean to them. But she didn't want to scare them by saying, like, all this paranormal stuff is happening to me because of you, you know? And maybe that's why she's like, you're the devil's spawn. Because she wanted a kid before.
Well, she did not know she was having twins. And
demons and stuff love twins.
Yeah. Really? And actually, did you just make that up?
Who doesn't love twins?
So basically, for 18 years, the mother did nothing to raise them. So it was already just whatever anger and hate that she had for her children already manifesting, sitting there. This happened when they were 11. So it's 11 years of this kind of anger and darkness in a house that may have been haunted.
Yeah, I wonder if she started going through these paranormal experiences before them when she was pregnant, and then it's feeding off of the hate that she has for them, and like the how it didn't go the way she wanted to, and how she's dealing with all this paranormal stuff, and then it can feed on that, and then it would appear to the kids at some point. But maybe she had been dealing with it the whole time, maybe. And that's why she didn't like them.
That's the impression I got, too, that it almost kind of seemed to me that they said that maybe she was going through, like, a nervous breakdown all those years. But it's, like, it almost kind of seemed like she was, like, possessed or in a depression. Not possessed like she was a demon, but she was haunted by something dark or maybe depressed or something like that with her life. And so maybe it was because of a spirit or something that was in the house around her. But it didn't seem to have an effect on the dad.
Yeah, right. Well, she didn't have hate for the dad. It would have been interesting to hear how other people saw the mother, you know, before the kids, during the kids. But, you know, some people have, like, a weird spiritual strength that when they do not like somebody, it manifests physically. That's a very believable thing. They could, you know, like... I wish I don't like these people, so all of a sudden things start happening to these people, and these are her kids, you know what I'm saying?
It's like giving the evil eye.
Yeah, to your own kids, man. I mean, dad had to come home and change them. That's messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wild, the notebook paper being crumpled in midair.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It's also very juvenile.
Yeah. But I mean, the mom is kind of being juvenile a little bit to her own kids. Like, if I was that husband, I may have left the mom.
Yeah, honestly, you might feel guilty. There might be some like guilt, like she didn't want twins.
Yeah,
running but, his family. I don't know.
I mean, he obviously knew that she didn't feed them and change their diapers because he was coming home to do it. You know what I mean? So he obviously knew she wasn't doing it, and that's just neglect. That's like child neglect.
The other option is he takes the kids and raises them by himself. And there's two. And then he has to work.
Right.
He has a midnight shift.
Mm.
Yeah, he did.
And he has a midnight man.
No.
Okay, so they described someone on the roof that sounded like hooves. And then they described a hairy person with red eyes. Is this any... Yeah. Does this sound familiar to you guys?
I mean, it sounds like...
Santa.
Sounds like Krampus.
Santa Claus. So, that's what I would have thought of when I was a kid. I'd be like, oh, Santa's cute.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like any demon that you guys know of.
I mean, you know, big hairy creature with horns.
Red eyes.
Sounds like all of our friends.
Sounds like a lot of them, especially the ones that we know the most popular. The most popular would be Satan, you know? But
there's lots of demons.
But there's lots of demons.
And then there's cryptids, which are like things that are, they're different than demons.
Yeah.
And then there's like ghosts, which are different than cryptids and different than demons.
I think maybe the mom has a spiritual power that she's might be aware of, but might also not be. And yeah, this is the mom manifested all this. The mom manifested the big hairy creature, manifested the terrorizing, you know, because this has been 11 years of the mother secretly hating her kids.
Yeah, I think you guys are on.
Not even secretly. No, like knowingly.
Yeah.
They knew it.
Well, maybe she saw that creature and that's why she said you're the spawn of Satan, because I saw Satan when you guys came into my life.
Right. Yeah.
It's wild.
I think you guys are both on something. I mean, it sat in the rocking chair and rocked slowly and then started grabbing papers and wrinkling it and throwing it at them. It's, you know, it was almost like
maybe he sees what a bad job she's doing and he's like, man, I gotta go hang out with these kids.
He just doesn't know how to play. He's like, oh, you guys want to play floating paper ball?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I saw some kids throwing a floating paper ball back and forth.
Oh, you want me to get in there and hug you? Yeah, I can hug too.
What if it was the mom who was like she put out like a wig and started throwing stuff at him, like she hates him that much just to torture them? So messed up. But yeah, like I think you guys are onto something, to where like she created this, or maybe invited a demon in by allowing so much hatred and evil in her house.
Yeah, I think that's it, man. You know, who knows what the experience was in the house before, if she was being worn down by whatever this is, but hate begets hate, and that's especially what evil entities look for, is people that are tortured, you know, because it's like easier to break them.
Yeah, man. And like postpartum and stuff like that is so serious, it can last forever. Your body can actually never go back sometimes, you know, it's not... get serious depression or having a child. Sometimes you don't bond with the child. You know, that's actually something that happens. So
yeah, that's probably extremely sad.
You can become resentful too towards the child. You know, your body is so changed and you got so much responsibility, so you can harbor resentment, and that can also breed demons, stuff like that being attracted.
Good stories, guys. I just said good stories. Yeah.
There you go. We took over your homeschool podcast.
Yes.
I liked it.
Was it good? I hope your listeners enjoy the scary stories that we told.
I know I did. I got a little spooked out. I learned a little bit, and I reassured myself of what I already knew, which is don't go camping.
There you go, brother. All right.
All right.
Any last words, anybody?
Great. No. Taco Bell is good.
Not right. Now, David. Not now, David.
Not now, David.
All right, brother.
Well, all right, guys. We love you so much. Thank you for listening to this cool crossover episode. Stay safe and wash your hands.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Nice.
You guys stop recording?
Yeah.
All right.
Right now. Bye. You want me to record your last thing?
No, I'm still recording. I'm going to say bye to my guests really quick. So if you guys want, you guys can log off. I'm going to do my little outro really quickly.
You want to see my arm one more time?
Yeah. Let's see that nasty arm. I think that...
like, you can't even really tell.
It looked...
It's this big.
I imagine it was worse.
No, it is worse. No, hold on. It's a light. You know how these things
No,
are.
But I saw it more when it was dark.
Oh. There. For some reason,
when you turn the light off, it becomes darker.
Yeah, well, that's why people always shine the light on them so bright, so it, like, evens everything out.
Yeah.
Remember people used to do that on, like, Stickam?
I don't know. You gotta get that shit checked out.
And it makes you look, like, more even tone.
All right. I'm gonna do my outro. Do you guys want to stay for my outro, or no? You're logging off.
What happens in your outro?
Nothing. I say the same shit I said in the beginning.
We'll see you later.
Bye. I'll see you guys later. Thank you, guys. That was fun. Thanks for freaking me out. Guys, that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. Just to give you a little taste of what they do over at True Scary Stories with Edie, they always read a couple of stories, and it's usually just the two of them. Edie was homeschooled like me, and we don't read out loud so well, so Nick reads them, and then we all comment afterward. it's usually just the two of them, but I've done their podcast twice and I have a lot of fun doing it. And for Halloween, I wanted to have this special episode for you guys and give you a little break from the normal stand-up talk and a little break from the normal, hating on government restrictions talk. And it's Halloween. I hope that you guys are living some great traditions and making brand new ones and making brand new memories with friends and family, regardless of where you are or where they are. Because as you can see, you can still create traditions and tell stories and things like that, even over the internet. So, I know Halloween's not Christmas. It's not Thanksgiving. Nobody's getting on a plane to go home to be with their family for Halloween. You know what I mean? But traditions are so important, and you have no idea the great memories and what it means to your kids or to young people. So when they grow up, they're going to keep it alive and they just keep doing them and they share them with friends and family. So since almost the beginning of Homeschooled Podcast, almost every Halloween I have had on Nick and Edie just to talk about some paranormal stuff. And this time we decided to do a special crossover, have them do their style that they do on their podcast, reading us stories, and we all talk about it. And I always have a lot of fun, and I hope you enjoyed it too. Please don't forget that you can see me this weekend at the House of Comedy in New Westminster, British Columbia. That's in Canada, Vancouver area, and that's where I'll be this weekend. There's two shows Friday, there's two shows Saturday, there's one show Sunday. It's Halloween weekend, so I'm going to be doing something special for you guys, and I hope you can come out and get a ticket. It's not too often I'm in Canada, so if I have any listeners out there, longtime supporters, this is the time to come see me if you're on that side of Canada. And you can get tickets at homeschooledpod.com. That's homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour and you'll see the links for all my upcoming shows, including that one in Vancouver. And besides that, I got a bunch of California dates coming up. And that's it, guys. I'm trying to put the pieces together. I'm working on more dates for you. Hopefully, maybe I'll have a New Year's Eve show. If not, whatever. I'll be happy, fucking comfortable at home in my own house. And besides that, you know, the year's almost over, everybody. I hope that you are accomplishing the goals that you want. I hope that your heart is filled with love as in the next three. You know, in the next 2 months of this year, you know, because we've been through a lot. Maybe you've lost some people. I know I have. And I hope your heart is filled with love and warmth and comfort through all things you've gone through this year. And here's to a brighter one. I'm going to see you guys, obviously, the next 2 months. I'll keep doing the Homeschool Podcast. But I just, you know, there's only two more months in the year. I just wanted to get that out there. And I hope to see you this weekend in Canada. Don't forget to help support the show by checking out our sponsors. You can go to homeschooledpod.com, click on sponsors, and you'll see all the products and services there that sponsor us, including our newest that we talked about today, which is Uni Pizza Ovens and True Dog. So head over to homeschoolpod.com, click on merch for t-shirts, click on sponsors for the sponsors, click on tour for my tickets, and you know, that's the best way to support is to pick up a homeschooled t-shirt or sticker or something like that. And also, if you guys ever want to reach out and say something and talk to me, I do my best to get back to those as soon as I can. So click on contact and those do go to me and I will answer them. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. Big thank you to Nick Guerra. Big thank you to Edie Gibson and True Scary Stories. And a big thank you to all of you who continue to support the Homeschool Podcast and all of you that are newly checking us out. Please hit subscribe. Please give us 5 stars wherever you're watching or listening to this. And that's all. I'm Augustino Zoida. This is Homeschool Podcast. Don't forget what we do here. We document the journey. And don't forget that only love can save the world. I'll see you guys next week. Peace. Have a safe Halloween. Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all.